Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, December 27th, 2020. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope everybody had a happy holidays, whether that be a Merry Christmas, a Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Hanukkah, or if you're non-religious, I hope you just spent some time with friends, family, or hung out by yourself, just kicked back, relaxed, and enjoyed the holiday season. So, obviously today, this is going to be starting off on kind of a somber note as John Huber, a.k.a. Brody Lee, a.k.a. Luke Harper, passed away last night after non-COVID-related lung issues that he'd been having, and this was a really, really hard one. I mean, for a guy who had no controversy, you know, no history of controversy, he wasn't one of those guys where, like, you heard about him doing crazy stuff or like, abusing drugs or being anything like that. You know, he was a universally liked guy amongst everybody, you know, in wrestling and all the journalists and everyone who covers wrestling, and anyone associated with wrestling, whether, you know, deeply associated or loosely associated, whatever the case may be. Brody Lee really made an impact on a lot of people's lives, and this is just such a sad loss. I don't really have the words to really say. All I can really do is let anyone know out there, by any chance any of his, you know, close friends or family hear this, I'm thinking of them, and, you know, he just seemed like a really, really great guy. The little bit that I did know about him on, like, a personal level, I'd heard him do interviews in the past where he'd explained that the ring name Brody Lee is a mixture of the names Brody Bruce and Jason Lee. Jason Lee played the character Brody Bruce on the movie Mallrats, which is actually one of my favorite movies of all time. I have, like, their posters and, like, a lot of their memorabilia and stuff right here in my office. One of my favorite movies. And I always thought that was so cool that Brody Lee chose that name based on a movie I was such a big fan of. And, you know, those movies are so niche, however you say it, whatever the right word, way of saying that word is. They're movies that, you know, really, I mean, they're maybe a bit more popular nowadays, but back when I was watching them in, like, the mid-90s, it was just something where, like, you kind of felt like you were in on this secret. Like, there's these movies out there, this Kevin Smith, View Askew-niverse, or whatever they wound up calling it. The whole Jay and Silent Bob, it eventually blew up big time, but it was kind of underground for a while. And anyways, I just always thought that was so cool, because that the kind of comedy they had in those kind of movies, you either really got it and loved it or really hated it and it wasn't for you. And I loved it, and apparently he did as well. The fact that he, once again, chose his ring name based on it. I just always thought that was interesting and really cool. Without having to even know that much about him, just knowing that little bit and just hearing the way that, you know, he talked about his family. I went back last night and this morning and watched all these videos of him with his son, and it just seems like he had this great relationship with his wife and his kids, and it's just so, like, I'm having a hard time even saying this right now. It's just, I'm tearing up. You can't see it. But yeah, it's just, I really don't know what else to say. My thoughts are with his family, and I have full trust that AEW will continue to, you know, let his memory live on. I'm sure they'll dedicate some sort of tournament or match type or belt or some shows or something dedicated to him to keep his memory alive. And just a huge loss for not only the wrestling community, but the just human life in general. I mean, he just seemed like such a good guy. It's rare that a guy is out there that's so successful like he was that no one has a bad thing to say about. I mean, you see it coming from every company right now, whether it be AEW, WWE, any independent company, or anything in between. I mean, all the barriers are down right now. This isn't WWE versus AEW or anything like that. This is a human being who lost his life, who was a well, universally loved person. It's just really, really sad. I guess what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to actually give you some match recommendations. Normally, I do my recommended show on IWTV. What I'm going to do today is give you a list of matches that I really enjoyed throughout Brody Lee's career. And yeah, these are the ones that I've picked out. So Some that I think are going to be a bit more well known that a lot of people have probably seen, but it's definitely worth going back and watching. He had a six-man tag match, Elimination Chamber 2014. Himself, Bray Wyatt, and Eric Rowan as the Wyatt family taking on the Shield, the combination of Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, and Roman Reigns. And once again, this was at WWE Elimination Chamber 2014. One of the best six-man tag matches I've ever seen. The hype was just through the roof for this one. I remember the two teams staring down on Raw, which I just thought was, it was just such a huge, crazy, cool moment. The Wyatts and the Shield facing off for the first time in the ring. The crowd was going completely insane, and this match totally lived up to the hype. Another match from that same year, WWE TLC 2014. He was the Intercontinental Champion. He had won the title, I believe, from Dolph Ziggler on Raw, and then he defended the title against Ziggler. Ziggler wound up winning this match, if memory serves me correctly, but Ziggler versus Luke Harper from WWE TLC for the Intercontinental Championship in 2014. I highly recommend that one. Some lesser-known matches that I think y'all should check out. He had a match with Fire Ant and Chikara, for those of you who don't know, and it's funny because years ago I was like sworn to secrecy to not talk about this, but it's pretty public knowledge at this point. Fire Ant is Orange Cassidy, same guy, and the match is awesome. Orange Cassidy, Fire Ant versus Brody Lee. That was from Chikara. Check that out. Brody Lee had another awesome match. He had a lot of great matches in Chikara. I'd recommend checking out his matches with Eddie Kingston and with Cesaro, both from Chikara. Really, really great stuff. More recently, he had his run in AEW, and this is where it makes it even harder to say this, but there is like the huge positive spin here where, the fans were so behind Luke Harper in the WWE. And we all recognized like this guy is being underused and he wanted out for a long time. Oh, and I should mention, speaking of WWE, his Worlds Collide match with Dominik Dijakovic, who is now, I think they call him T-Bar on Raw as a part of Retribution. He was Donovan Dijak on the Indies, but they had that Worlds Collide show in the WWE, and Dijak versus Luke Harper was really, really good. I want to put that on this list as well, but my point though was going to be that, he wanted out of WWE, and it was so frustrating as a fan because you wanted to see him succeed, and the talent was there, and anyone who had seen him in like CZW or Chikara or anywhere, prior to his WWE run, we all knew how capable he was of being a major star and just how talented he was, and they weren't letting him show any of his like real personality or anything. And one thing that we can say is in a positive light over, that has to do with like this year at all, is that Brody Lee, at the very least, he got to have a run, even though it was really short. He got to have a run in AEW where he was used as a top guy. He was the leader of a stable that he helped make into something like. The Dark Order was so frowned upon, it was so bashed, and they eventually got to a point where Luke Harper comes over and as Brody Lee, and just the stuff they were doing on Being the Elite with him as the Exalted One was just incredible stuff. It totally turned around the whole stable, and that was the perception from the fans, especially on that stable, that group, faction, whatever you want to call it. And he had some great matches in AEW. The ones that I want to highlight, of course, the AEW World Championship match he had against Jon Moxley at Double or Nothing of this year. Definitely worth checking out. Really great match, great storytelling, great finish. And the two matches he had with Cody this year for the TNT title, defeating him for the TNT title on Dynamite, and then a few weeks later on Dynamite, losing it back in an epic dog collar match. So two incredible matches with Cody. And it's just, if there's one positive from this year that has to do with wrestling, that's one of them, right? Like, I mean, that's a huge positive. At the very least, albeit a short run, he got to have some fun and enjoy wrestling again, and really be perceived as the star that we all knew he could have been, and he should have been the whole time. So, Yeah, just this one really hurts. This is honestly the most comparable thing I could even compare this to is when Eddie Guerrero passed away, a guy who was still in his prime. The only difference being, Eddie, he had those issues in his life where he had the drug addiction and, the DUI issues and it cost him his job in the WWE at one point and all that stuff. And of course Eddie Guerrero didn't deserve to die. Like I feel like I don't need to preface it by saying that, but I'm going to just in case someone's listening to this. And but the point is, like, Luke Harper didn't even have any of that. Brody Lee didn't have any of that. Like it just this is a guy who is still around his physical prime and doing the best work of his career, and it's just so sad. So all we can hope for now is that once again AEW keeps his legacy alive, which I fully trust that they will, and that his children can continue to be involved. And if they want to become wrestlers, then, I also trust that AEW will take care of that family the best that they can. So thoughts are out to the whole family and all the loved ones of John Huber, aka Brody Lee, aka Luke Harper, whatever you want to call him. This is just it's just such a loss, just such a loss, just devastating. On a so what we're gonna do today, the plan today was to do a best of 2020, a Weekender award show, and that's still what we're gonna do. That's what today's episode's gonna be. We're gonna try to turn this thing around, turn this frown upside down a little bit. We're gonna dedicate the show, of course, to Brody Lee and his family and loved ones. 100%. Myself and Jesse Davin, we do a live chat every week on YouTube, on her YouTube channel. Check it out, JessiDavan on YouTube. And this week on our show, any super chats and donations that we get, we're going to donate directly to his family. So we're going to find out the best links, the best way to get in touch with his family or whatever is set up, any kind of fund that he has set up for his family. Any money we make on our show this week is going to go to him. I normally don't really plug my stuff here on the show, but I'm going to today because if anyone's listening to this and you want to contribute, we'll probably go live on Tuesday. That's usually when we do it. But if you're following us on Twitter and subscribe to our channel, you'll always be notified when we go live. Any money we make, any to the penny that we make on that show, we are going to make sure goes directly to his family. So, as far as today for this award show, let's have some fun. This is in the memory of Brody Lee. I think he's the kind of guy who wouldn't want us sitting around and sulking about this. It's very, very hard not to. But we're going to try to turn this around, and we're going to highlight some of the best things that happened in wrestling this year. So for these awards, basically the only criteria is this has mainly to do, like, primarily with the companies that we cover weekly on this show. So it's going to be a lot of stuff involving, Impact, various companies available on IWTV. We're going to have, winners from Impact Wrestling, Ring of Honor, MLW, pretty much everything we cover, 205 Live, NXT UK, all that stuff is available for these awards. Pretty much the only exclusions being we don't cover a lot of New Japan, so there's no New Japan on this list. No AEW, although we cover Being the Elite, that is separate. I will say the Being the Elite Christmas special that they put on this past week was hilarious. Absolutely incredible. Highly recommend checking that out. I don't want to spoil it. Normally I recap each show each week, but I don't even want to spoil any of it. Like, it is a 30-minute Christmas special that I'll be watching every year from now on. So I highly recommend checking that out. I thought it was fantastic work by AEW, especially towards the end. Like, the last few things towards the end, once again, I won't ruin any of it, but the ending especially, just so good, so well done. Long-term planning in these stories, that a lot of it culminated on that episode, which I thought was really well done. And I'd imagine Being the Elite this week will heavily feature Brody Lee in his memory. But that said, so, not really any New Japan, AAA, AEW, or WWE, outside of course, like I mentioned, 205 Live and NXT UK. So for those of you who are new to this show, those are the things we mainly cover. for those of you who listen regularly, you know the stuff that we cover, so this won't be any surprises to, like, the categories here and stuff. But I think a lot of the winners and stuff might surprise y'all. So I got some winners, I got some honorable mentions, and I also have some predictions for 2021. So let's go ahead and get into this. And this, once again, is dedicated to Brody Lee and his family. So we're going to start off with promo of the year. Now, my honorable mention for this is Eric Young, Impact Wrestling, ever since he returned to the company. You can choose pretty much any of his promos. The ones he's been doing lately on Impact, I think, have been really good. These video packages where he's explaining how, you know, wrestling is a disease and a parasite and all this stuff. And he has brought on Joe Doring and now Cody Deaner and stuff like that. And I think the work that Eric Young's been doing since returning to Impact Wrestling has been really, really good. But my winner for promo of the year is Eddie Kingston. And this was from ICW No Holds Barred 3. He had just defeated Brett Eisen in a match, and he grabs the microphone. They're in a literal backyard, in a ring in a backyard. This is like back in like June or July. And Eddie Kingston cuts this amazing promo where he calls out Nick Aldis, who is the NWA World Heavyweight Champion, Zack Sabre Jr., who he just has beef with, and then Cody, who at the time was the AEW TNT Champion. And this promo was the catalyst for Eddie Kingston getting an opportunity to fight Cody for the TNT title, and he cut another amazing promo there. And since this isn't, you know, AEW based, I just want to mention, like, the promo itself, I mean, that happened on IWTV for ICW NHB3, so very much within our rule set here. And the promo, like I said, it was super important because I think that's what really caught AEW's attention, and then he wound up getting that match with Cody, wound up getting a contract, and since then he's done amazing things, like his feud with Moxley for the title, and the stuff he's done with Butcher, Blade, Lucha Brothers, and all that. So, you know, Eddie Kingston just had a great year, and I think the main reason it's been so great is because he cut this promo right after beating Brett Eisen. So, also kind of tying in, I wanted to do a comeback wrestler of the year category, and it was kind of hard to do this year, and, you know, especially because there are certain companies we're not, like, if I was including AEW, I guess I'd say, like, Sting, but, and he hasn't wrestled yet, but you know what I mean, like, huge return this year that everyone was talking about. But I kind of consider Eddie Kingston to be the comeback wrestler of the year also, because he never went away. Like, he's been around forever, seemingly. I mean, like, 20 years or whatever at this point. But at the beginning of this year, he was wrestling a lot on the independents. He had done stuff with the NWA, which we cover on this show. And since then, a lot of the success has been in AEW. But without the IWTV stuff, without the NWA stuff, I don't think that he's as successful in AEW right now. I think he really set himself up great pre-AEW for his AEW run. And I'm going to make a prediction that in 2021, next year, I think the quote-unquote comeback wrestler of the year will be Chris Hero. If he decides to return, because he is not, as far as I know, he has not been seen in a ring since departing from the WWE back in like April or whatever it was when they did like the firings and furloughs when the pandemic started getting bad. So I think when Chris Hero returns, if he does, I assume he will, but if he does, I think he'll come back really strong on the indies, and I'd imagine he'd be a shoo-in for AEW. So I'm going to say Chris Hero will probably be who we're talking about next year as the comeback wrestler of the year. Next category I have is rookie of the year. My winner is Nolan Edward. I think technically speaking, he's been wrestling for a little over a year, but for all intents and purposes, he's who I think of when I think of, you know, rookie of the year. He won the Scenic City Invitational's Future Tournament this year, which the only other winners of that tournament are we had Marco Stunt win the first year, who's obviously become a major star in AEW since then, and Manders, who I'm going to be talking about a little bit later, who's had a great year, and has in the SCI Futures Tournament really skyrockets people on the indie scene, especially in like the Southeast, but really everywhere. And Nolan Edward is no exception. This kid is just so damn talented, so fast, and he's young. He's got a chip on his shoulder. He does everything. He's crazy. And I know that, I mean, we have some really close mutual friends, and I know that there is already a lot of interest from some major companies when it comes to Nolan Edward. You know, he's a mixture of everything. His gimmick is no flinch, and he does not flinch. He's down to take anything. I've watched him do death matches. I've watched him do just straight up wrestling matches. He's good at everything, and he's only going to continue to get better. So I'm going to say Nolan Edward is my rookie of the year. And I can't really predict a rookie of the year for next year because it'll be someone that is like currently training right now, if that makes sense. That goes with most improved too. It's kind of hard to predict who the most improved wrestler for a year is going to be, but this year for 2020, I've chosen Cole Radrick. He's a guy who I believe is from the Indiana area, but I see him all over the place. He wrestles all over the country now. I've seen him live in Nashville. I believe I've seen him live in Chattanooga as well. He's a guy that I think is just really, really good. He's someone it took a minute for me to kind of warm up to. Like, I've been watching him wrestle for a while. I always thought he was okay, but more recently he's really putting it all together, and he's the definition of a guy who just has just so much heart. He isn't the most athletic guy. He isn't the most physically intimidating guy. He's actually a very small guy, if we're just being honest about it. But he just puts on these gutsy performances and just works his ass off and just keeps getting better and better. And when I'm considering you to be the most improved, I think some people think most improved is like a negative category. Let me put it this way. My most improved a couple years ago was Warhorse, and look at where he's at now. You know what I mean? Like, he's been the reigning IWTV champion for over a year and wrestled on AEW against Cody earlier this year, and I'm sure he's going to keep getting more and more opportunities once, you know, things kind of open up more and more. So it is not a bad thing, in my opinion, for me to recognize you as the most improved wrestler of the year, and I hope it isn't taken as a negative from anybody. I believe I've heard Dylan Hale say that as well. I think I heard him on commentary not too long ago mentioning Cole Radrick as his most improved wrestler of the year, and that's or most improved wrestler of the last few years. And coming from Dylan, that's a really high a high honor in my opinion, because Dylan knows more about Dylan Hales forgets more about independent wrestling every day than I've ever known. Like, that's how highly I regard him and his opinion. So Cole Radrick, if you ever hear this, man, keep doing your thing. You are doing great stuff right now, and I can only imagine how much better you're gonna keep getting. Breakout wrestler of the year. So this one was tough because it depends on how you look at breakout wrestler, like kind of how you categorize what this is. I have three different people. One of them I mentioned already, Warhorse, and I say breakout because he's been the IWTV champion for a long time, so he isn't really a breakout wrestler from that perspective. But the buzz that he created over the past year on social media, and then getting that opportunity against Cody in AEW for the TNT title, I consider him a breakout because while a lot of us are familiar with Warhorse, I bet most of the AEW audience didn't know who he was. And I think he put on a good performance, and I think we'll see him again one day, either in AEW or another mainstream company. I mean, he's too talented to not be a big star at some point in the near future. So I got Warhorse on there. Similar situation with Curt Stallion. Anyone who's listened to this show, I've been talking about Curt Stallion pretty much every episode for the last 2 years. He's a guy who, you know, he's the first ever Sup Bone Storm champion, my favorite indie promotion out of Nashville. He was their first ever champion. He's done great things in Chattanooga, in Atlanta, all over the place. Glory Pro in the St. Louis area, Black Label Pro. He did some stuff in Action Wrestling. I mean, he was all over the place. And then, of course, he had that run at Evolve, which, you know, a lot of people got familiar with him through that. But I consider him a breakout wrestler of the year as well, because what he's doing on 205 Live right now, similar to Warhorse, you know, a lot of us who follow the indies, we knew Curt Stallion. But I bet you, like, maybe 10% of the WWE audience who watches 205 Live knew who he was. And now he's in a position where he's the number one contender. He's going to be having a match against Santos Escobar for the belt soon. He's been heavily featured on the show, and I think it's really important because I really think that they're turning 205 Live into this, like, something similar to what Evolve was. I just get this vibe based on the people they've been signing recently and some of the people that I've heard have signed that haven't been announced yet and stuff. I really think that Kurt Stein is going to be one of the major players, one of the main faces of 205 Live in the foreseeable future. And then I think he's going to have a great run in NXT, and I think the sky's the limit for him. He's a super talented performer. I mentioned Dylan Hales just a second ago. I remember years ago Dylan telling me that he considered Kurt Stein to be the most, I think he called him the most maximum effort wrestler he's seen, where he just, that's once again just a huge praise. The guy works his ass off every single time he's out there. So got Kurt Stein there. And my other breakout wrestler of the year, and this is more from like an IWTV kind of independent level, I have Lee Moriarty, who has been wrestling for like 5 years, but just recently has really broken out. I believe he trained under, I don't know why the name is escaping me, not Chris Sabin, Alex Shelley, geez. I think he trained under, I'm pretty sure he trained under Alex Shelley. He's one of the best technical wrestlers in the world. I know there's interest from Ring of Honor and Impact and stuff. We're going to be seeing a lot of him, I think, in 2021. He is super talented, and I'll talk about him a little bit more here in a second. But yeah, keep your eyes on Lee Moriarty. He is just having incredible matches, which is a great kind of segue into my matches of the year. My honorable mentions, one of them is Lee Moriarty versus Daniel Makabe, happened at SUP Swing of the Axe over the Collective Weekend. One of the best technical wrestling matches I've ever seen. Just incredible stuff. And yeah, I mean, I highly recommend checking that out. Once again, that was Moriarty versus Makabe from Southern Underground Pro's Swing of the Axe. Another honorable mention, I talked about Manders briefly a second ago. Manders versus Graham Bell from Action Wrestling's Last Call. That match was awesome. It's a match that I feel like not enough people are talking about. And I don't know if it was just the mood I was in. I've rewatched the match a few times. I love it. Just, it is just all action from start to finish. Really great stuff. False finishes and no selling and powering back up. And I mean, just a great match. Had everything and there was no downtime. Just a really solid match between Manders and Graham Bell. But my winner for match of the year is Walter versus Dragunov from NXT UK. This match had everything. It was hard-hitting. This is one of those matches that I think some people watch and they're like, I saw some divisiveness online about it where some people were like, well, the point of pro wrestling is to not hurt your opponent, and like these guys went out there and beat the hell out of each other. And my thing is this, if both guys are down for it and they know what they're getting into, go for it. Like that, I mean, it was my favorite match of the whole year, no matter what company we're talking about. Well, I mean, this was just incredible stuff, and it's exactly what NXT UK needed when it happened, because the brand was, you know, dormant for most of the year because of the pandemic, and when they came back, this was like the first big title match when the promotion returned, and I mean, it got everyone buzzing, because this was a match you have to go out of your way to watch. This was, in my opinion, the best match of the whole year, and one of the best matches of the last handful of years. Just incredible stuff. And speaking of, you know, this match of the year, once again, I've chosen as Walter versus Dragunov, or Walter, depending on how you want to pronounce it. I think that in 2021, it's hard to predict match of the year now, of course, but Ben Carter signing to NXT UK, I think we're going to get an amazing NXT UK title match at some point in 2021 between Walter and Ben Carter. Ben Carter's another guy that was really close for me to choose as like my kind of breakout wrestler of the year. He did amazing stuff on the indies, but I think his real breakout came from his matches in AEW and then him signing with NXT UK. It'll be interesting to see how this shakes out for Ben Carter, because super talented kid, obviously, you know, trained by Seth Rollins and has all the talent in the world. And I think that I think he's going to come into NXT UK with a lot of hype, and I think they're going to push him heavily, because he's the kind of guy that he can be a really, really massive star. He's young and he can do everything. And I think that him and Walter is going to be really good if and when it happens. So that's kind of a bold prediction. You know, 2021, I'm already picking. I think that Walter versus Ben Carter will be the best match of the year, but that's obviously kind of impossible to you know, predict right now. But that's basically a big nod and shout out to Ben Carter. Moving on to tag team of the year, honorable mention, Violence is Forever, the team of Dominic Greaney and Kevin Koo, who are the current SUP Tag Team Champions and the current BLP, the Black Label Pro Tag Team Champions. They recently made their tag team debut on MLW. Dominic Greaney had been a part of MLW for a while, but Kevin Koo signed back in like February, but didn't actually get to debut until after the restart because that company had to take some time off. You know, so, I mean, they had a great collective weekend. The collective weekend just in general, I mean, GCW, what GCW did all year I thought was pretty fantastic. I think the collective weekend was my favorite weekend in all of pro wrestling this entire year. And I know there's some stuff going on between GCW and IWTV, and I've heard from the IWTV side what their perspective is. I haven't heard personally from the GCW side, so I don't want to really say really my opinions on all that as of right now. I want to wait for more to kind of come out about all that before I start really talking about it. But I'm a fan of both. I'm a fan of GCW, and I'm obviously a big fan of everything they do on IWTV, so I hope that all, you know, that all gets, you know, handled however it needs to. And I hope both sides come out okay after all that. But that being said, you know, Violence is Forever, just a great tag team. And Dominic Greaney and Kevin Koo, what's so cool about them as a team is them separately, they work great as singles wrestlers. They're a part of the Filthy Tom Lawler stable, Team Filthy. And they had Eric Stevens with them as well. Eric Stevens retired over the collective weekend this year. But it'll be interesting to see kind of where Violence is Forever is next year, because I think that they're going to be the tag team of the year next year. They were the honorable mention this year. And I think after another year, and I think they're going to get a heavy push in MLW. And I mean, I'm a huge fan of Kevin Koo. Like, I've interviewed him personally. He came to my old apartment when I lived in Nashville. Like, I did interviews with him years ago. And I'm a huge fan of Kevin Koo. He pulled the curtain back a little bit. He's actually the guy who, one of the major main promoters and guys who runs Southern Underground Pro, Sup Graps in Nashville. So, it's been cool to see everything Koo's accomplished. And Greeny, I talk about all the time kind of jokingly, but in my household, you know, I live by myself in a condo, and my brother lives right up the street. He's like 5 minutes away. So we hang out a lot. And a lot of the time when he comes over, I have IWTV. I have two TVs in my living room, and one of them just is always streaming something, whether it's IWTV, YouTube, whatever. And he'll come over, and he calls Dominic Greaney Indy Hulk Hogan because he thinks that, in my brother's mind, Dominic Greaney is like the god of independent wrestling. And not that Hulk Hogan, you know, people have their opinions of him on a personal level, but my brother's kind of comparison is because to him, Hulk Hogan's like the most recognizable wrestler of all time. And on an independent level, for him, that's Dominic Greaney. Because it seems like every time I have IWTV on my screen, no matter what the company is or what the rule set is, whether it's a Paradigm Pro UWFI rules thing or like a GCW style, like hardcore something or other, or it's like a, you know, just a straight up match on Sup Graps or like whatever the case is, Greeny seems to be on like every show, whether it's in a tag team or a singles match. And then what's even funnier is I was sitting around watching MLW one night and my brother was here, and I completely forgot that Violence is Forever was debuting in MLW, and Greedy pops up on the screen, and my brother's like, no way, like, he's here too. And it's just like, I'm telling you, dude, he's everywhere. So huge shout out to Dominic Greaney and Kevin Koo, my honorable mention for Tag Team of the Year. But my winner for Tag Team of the Year 2020 is The North, Ethan Page and Josh Alexander. They came into this year as the Impact Wrestling Tag Team Champions. They lost those titles, I believe it was at Slammiversary, to the Motor City Machine Guns. Regained the titles not too long after that, and then recently lost them to the Good Brothers. And it looks like the team is in the midst of a split and all that stuff. And I don't know what Ethan Page's future is going to look like. I believe he's testing free agency. I wouldn't be surprised to see him come back to Impact, considering their relationship with AEW now especially. I could see him going to AEW as well. And I could also see him going to WWE. I mean, Ethan Page is going to be highly sought after, super talented guy. And so is Josh Alexander. I think the world of both guys. And I think their tag team was incredible. I think that they have the best array of tag team offense of any team in the world right now. Or any, and I say right now, I don't know how much longer the team's going to be around. But on top of the stuff they did in Impact, they were really good on the indies, individually and as a tag team. So it wasn't just their work in Impact Wrestling that got them the nod. It was the fact that they were doing it in Impact for a quote-unquote, you know, mainstream audience. But they were also doing it on independent shows all year. So the North, in my opinion, was the best tag team in the world this year. And that goes for any company. Like, this, even if this list, these awards branched out to WWE and AEW and everything, I would still have the North as my favorite, as my number one tag team of 2020. And that would be, once again, whether that's including every company, I'd put the North up there as the best team of the year. So huge shout out to Ethan Page and Josh Alexander, the North, my 2020 tag team of the year. Moving on, we have the female wrestler of the year. So this was tough. My honorable mention is Thunder Rosa. And the main reason for that is, of course, we cover NWA. And she was the NWA Women's Champion coming into this year. And she's currently not Serena Deeb. And Serena Deeb was on my list, too. She was on the short list of honorable mentions. But I think what Thunder Rosa did while NWA Champion and what she's done in AEW since then, once again, we don't really cover AEW, but I'm taking that into account because I think it's important, like, that, you know, she's done so much great stuff there, but I really think that Thunder Rosa is going to be the 2021 Female Wrestler of the Year, probably. I don't know if she'll be on this list or not, if she's exclusive to AEW, but if she stays with the NWA and does stuff at Impact, and we'll also see what the future of this show holds, by the way. I mean, for all I know, I could be covering AEW by next year because there's so much tie-in with Impact Wrestling. We're going to see how that all plays out. But Thunder Rosa is my honorable mention this year for Female Wrestler of the Year. And there's other honorable mentions. Gianna Perrazzo almost won this award. It was very close. I think what she's done since leaving WWE and joining Impact Wrestling has been fantastic. She had one of the best matches of the year against Jordynne Grace at Slammiversary. Probably the best match of that whole show, and in my opinion, probably the best female match of the year from any company. And Gianna Perrazzo, that was a really close one. But my winner is the person I just mentioned across the ring from Gianna Perrazzo at Slammiversary. My winner for Wrestler of the Year on the female side is Jordynne Grace. She came into 2020 as the Impact Wrestling Women's Knockouts Champion. She's wrestled men. She's wrestled for the X Division Championship. She does great intergender work. She is in the middle of an interesting tag team with Jazz. And I think at some point soon we'll get a really cool match between Jazz and Jordynne Grace. And I think that Jordynne Grace is going to be instrumental in this whole Impact Wrestling versus AEW story. I think the biggest... I've talked about this on the show before, but for newer listeners, I think that, like, a lot of people in the AEW and Impact, whatever you call it, their deal or their crossover or whatever you want to call it, they, a lot of people were saying, like, well, what's in this for AEW? Like, clearly Impact's going to benefit greatly from this partnership, but what does AEW really get out of this? And, so obviously, you know, like I said, Impact's going to, just the fact that Impact, you know, is associated with AEW and they're going to get Kenny Omega and they're going to get so much crossover. So many people, I mean, the biggest numbers they've ever done on Twitch were Kenny Omega's first night on the show and stuff. But what's in it for AEW is they're going to have access to Impact Wrestling's women. And I think that that is the biggest hole that AEW needs to fill, is their women's division has been probably the most scrutinized aspect of the entire company since it started. And they have some good women there, but there's been a lot of hit and miss with the women's division with AEW. And when they get access now to women like Jordynne Grace, Gianna Perrazzo, Sue Young, Jazz, I mean, I'm missing plenty of others, Tennille Dashwood, there's a lot of good ones in Impact Wrestling. They have probably the best overall women's division of any company in the world. And I say this also, like, you have to look at WWE as four separate brands. If you're looking at it as Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and NXT UK, I think that Impact Wrestling as a singular brand has the best women's division of any company. And AEW is going to have access to that now. And I think Jordan Grace is going to be an instrumental part of that. I think if I was booking the show, I've said this before, but once again, for newer listeners, I would literally, like, the first crossover show that they do where there's, like, Impact versus AEW or whatever, I would have Jordan Grace win the AEW Women's Championship because, in my opinion, she can pull off what Nyla Rose couldn't. And, you know, there's going to be people listening to this who are Nyla Rose fans, and that's fine. I think she's gotten a lot better over the last year. I'll definitely give her that credit. But what they wanted out of Nyla Rose was, like, this unstoppable monster of a wrestler, this powerhouse that was really difficult to beat. But the problem was, most of the time, her matches just weren't good. And Jordan Grace would have good matches with everybody, male, female, any other gender, anything in between. I mean, like, she literally can have a good match with anyone. And she could be that dominant champion that Impact had at one point that I think AEW could really, really benefit from. And yeah, I mean, another woman that, like, I don't mention her. I didn't mention her on the honorable mentions because she's AEW, but I think Chris Statlander will have a big year in 2021 when she comes back. And I think Jordan Grace versus Chris Statlander could be money for AEW. I really do. Statlander versus Nyla Rose was really bad. And I've had to put part of that on Statlander, to be fair. It isn't all on Nyla for how bad that match was. But I think, you know, a lot of it was on her, like, to be honest, to be fair. And I think Jordan Grace versus Chris Statlander, if that were to happen in AEW, I think that match would just be freaking awesome. So, my female wrestler of the year, Jordan Grace. And the last category, male wrestler of the year. So it's tough, like, because I can honorable mention so many people. The one person that came to mind right off the bat, but I couldn't include him as the winner, was Jonathan Gresham. And the main reason being is that Ring of Honor just didn't run shows for a lot of the year. But since they've come back, I think Gresham has looked incredible. Like, he won the Pure Championship. He still won half of the Tag Team Champions with Jay Lethal. He is the leader of the Foundation, which I think is going to be a really important stable. I think you're going to see storylines where... Because I really believe that this AEW Impact relationship is, like, the first of just the beginning of kind of what we're going to get. Because I really think Ring of Honor is going to get involved. I really think that we could get New Japan involvement and stuff. And I think if Ring of Honor is involved in kind of this brand warfare, that the Foundation is going to be, like, a group that's really, really instrumental in all of it. Because you're going to have Jonathan Gresham, Hot Sauce Tracy Williams, Rhett Titus. Someone like Lee Moriarty is a shoe-in for a stable like that. Someone like Dana McCabe is a shoe-in for a stable like that. Like, they have so much potential, and I'm missing others. But... and Jay Lee, I think I mentioned Jay Lethal already. But anyways, the point is, the Pure Wrestling in Ring of Honor, that's such a good thing that they're doing with that, because that's something that can differentiate their company. Like, I think a problem that Ring of Honor's had the last handful of years is they're putting on decent wrestling shows, but it isn't, like, different enough. But the Pure Wrestling aspect, I really enjoy, and it does make it different. And I've been calling for Jonathan Gresham to be the Ring of Honor world champion for what seems like forever at this point. And now it's kind of worked out even better, because not that, I mean, Roosh is a great champion, but not that, and this isn't a knock against Roosh, but I personally am more interested in what's going on with Jonathan Gresham in the Pure Championship right now. I think that's what's more important in Ring of Honor right now, my personal opinion. So huge shout out to Jonathan Gresham. Once again, there's just so many people. It would take me hours to just go through everybody that I could honorable mention here for this year. There's been a lot of, as shitty as this year's been, there's been a lot of really good wrestling. People can have their opinions of whether or not shows should be happening, and if so, like, how many people should be allowed, or if there should be fans at all, and all that stuff, and social distancing, and masks, and everything. That's a big debate amongst everybody. But in the ring, the wrestling this year has been really, really good. There's a lot of people that did great stuff this year, but I had to choose just one, and my winner this year for male wrestler of the year AJ Gray. AJ Gray has just done great stuff. I mean, he is currently the Glory Pro champion. He is currently the SUP champion. The Collective Weekend, which I mentioned, which in my opinion was the best wrestling weekend of the entire year. AJ Gray has to be considered the MVP of that weekend. He won every match he was involved in. Which was like probably like 8 different matches or something. I mean, he wrestled so much, maybe even more than that. He was the one behind For the Culture, which was basically the showcase of African American wrestling, and just an incredible show, one of the best shows of the entire year. And AJ Gray is a big reason that show happened, and he was heavily highlighted. And he just had a great year. And he's a guy who I really think in 2021, we're going to be seeing him in either Impact Wrestling, AEW, or the WWE. I don't know where he's going to wind up landing, but he is on the short list of people that are ready to go. He's on a short list. That short list is guys like AJ Gray, Mance Warner, Matthew Justice, Blake Christian, you know. There's others that I can mention, but you know, he is on that short list of guys that are going to be really big stars. And I think the world of AJ Gray and what he stands for. And he just had a great year. Like I said, the champion of SUP, which once again, I know I'm biased, but my favorite independent wrestling promotion in the world. He's the champion right now. He dethroned AC Mack over the Collective Weekend in a surprise match that no one knew was going to happen. Current Glory Pro champion, their Crown of Glory champion, which is their heavyweight title. SUP has their Bone Storm title. They all have, you know, various names and stuff, but he's the world champion of both of the promotions. Glory Pro, like, if SUP's my number one favorite promotion, Glory Pro is like number two or three, you know, I mean, I love all these indies, and I hate even being biased, but you guys got to understand, like, I lived in Nashville for 10 years, SUP started like 3 years ago, and I was able to go to like all their shows when I was there. And I mean, I just have an attachment to the company from the ground level to where it is now. So, but yeah, man, AJ Gray, just the truth. I just, he had a great year, absolutely great year. And I can't wait to see what happens in his future. As far as honorable mentions, as far as predictions for next year, I think I have two people in mind for two very different reasons. I'm going to say that next year, and this is a guy that I talk about almost every episode, and people who listen all the time, probably I sound like a broken record, but I think 2021, when we have these awards, I think I'll be saying Willie Mack as the Wrestler of the Year, because I think that at some point, the Rich Swann versus Willie Mack match will happen. I think Willie Mack will be holding the TNA title. I think he'll win that from Moose. And I think Rich Swann will still be the Impact Wrestling champion whenever this happens. I think that'll be the big unification match. And that'll be Willie Mack's big win. Like the win he's been looking for since he joined Impact Wrestling. The win that fans like myself have been waiting for. I see it happening. I think 2021 is finally the year of the Mack. We get Willie Mack as the Impact Wrestling World Champion. And it'll mean even more because if they're still in this story with AEW, I can see some really cool crossover stuff between Willie Mack and people that AEW have on their roster. So I'm looking for a big 2021 out of Willie Mack. And another guy that I'm going to highlight right now that I think is the future of pro wrestling, Joshua Bishop. He's the current Absolute Intense Wrestling AIW World Heavyweight Champion. He won that belt over the Collective Weekend against Matthew Justice. And he's a guy who I don't know if he'll be signed in 2021. He's still young. There's still a few things that I think he's kind of missing a little bit. But he has size, the intensity, the in-ring, the character, the look. He's got the crazy mindset where he'll jump off the freaking roof of a building through tables or barbed wire or whatever, but he can also just have a straight up wrestling match and just kick ass. Joshua Bishop is who to watch in 2021. I didn't know if I should categorize him as like the breakout wrestler of the year next year, and I felt like that would be unfair because he already kind of has broken out, once again, being the AIW champion and all, but I think 2021 is when we're going to really see him. More promotions, the main event of a lot more shows. And I think by the end of 2021, if he hasn't already been signed somewhere, I think he's who we're talking about as, you know, on top of that short list of that totem pole, where, you know, he'll 2022 will be a huge year for Joshua Bishop, I think. But 2021 is going to be what sets that up, I think. And he's already set himself up great up to this point. I think the world of Joshua Bishop. So huge shout out to Joshua Bishop, and huge shout out to everybody who was a part of the awards. Obviously, one last, you know, thinking of Brody Lee and his family. This is all dedicated to him and his loved ones, and I can't stress it enough. Rest in peace, Brody Lee, a.k.a. Luke Harper, real name, John Huber. You know, we're going to miss you, but you'll never be forgotten. You will never be forgotten. That's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. You can follow me on Twitter at FightTalk_FIGHTTALK_. Till next time, enjoy some professional wrestling, and Happy New Year.